There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast Trade Deadline Spectacular. I am Gary Gramling.
I'm Jenny Brendis.
Hello, friends. I'm Connor Orr.
And we had blocked off 7 hours to run through all the thousands of trades that we were preparing for, and we ended up getting, we're going to talk about four, and then we're going to talk about two guys who didn't get traded, and then we are going to move on with our lives and not think about trades until the offseason. But we will start this thing with the big one, and that was Von Miller going from Denver to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for 2022 second-round pick and third-round pick. Broncos also picking up quite a bit of Von Miller's salary here. But you know, the takeaways are, look, Rams add another generational defender to their, you know, very top-heavy defense, and they also just continue to shed draft capital in a way that we just don't see anymore.
I like Les Snead because he operates very similarly to the character Marty Bird in the show The Ozarks. He's an accountant for the giant drug cartel in Mexico. And like every time his back is against the wall, it's like he just comes up with this insane idea to somehow siphon off cash. And it's like, oh my God, the Rams are out of money. Let's just go trade for Von Miller. Or we have $90 million in dead cap. Let's get Matt Stafford. And like, it's very similar to the show where it's like, he's about to get killed because he can't siphon money. Let's buy a riverboat casino, you know, and somehow this will all solve the problem. And the insane accounting here is just like one of my favorite things in the world. Not to mention the fact that this is great. I mean, it's good for the NFL. It's good for the Rams. It's good for the league in general, because I don't think general managers can just sit on their hands anymore. You know, he turned this team over in like a matter of 2 years, has almost, you know, a giant handful of the biggest stars in football and a brilliant head coach to try to make it all work.
Yeah, and we've already seen that the NFC has become stratified very early in the season. There is a small group of very good teams. The Rams are one of them. They have as good a chance as any of making or winning the Super Bowl. So you add another player that helps you do that. I mean, they went out and got Matthew Stafford in the offseason to help take the team to the next level. They saw an opportunity to add another advantage mid-season. And while the Rams operate differently from almost every other team when it comes to draft capital, I do think it's rooted in a similar philosophy as the approach of teams who hoard draft picks take. Both are grounded in the reality that draft picks are a total crapshoot and that there's about a 50% success rate all throughout the first round. So some teams account for that by hoarding draft picks and figuring if you get more bites at the apple, you'll hit on some of them. The Rams have taken the opposite approach, which is let's just mostly avoid the draft and instead use this capital to go get proven veteran players. I mean, it's interesting that the last time they picked in the first round was Jared Goff, which was obviously a player that they ended up trading away 5 years later. So whether that move up to get Jared Goff influenced the further philosophy or there were other reasons involved, what we have now is a team that is willing to pay a little bit more for these proven veterans. And perhaps some of that extra cost is offset at least a little bit by the fact that you'd be missing on some of the high draft picks. So you're still overpaying, but the idea is you're getting players that you know are good that will be at critical positions for your team. And they're saying, we'll figure out a way to make it work. Maybe we'll have cap issues down the line. Maybe we won't. Cap goes up. Who knows if we'll be here in a few years. Now is our time to build this team this way.
The specter of the Kyle Shanahan, we could all die tomorrow thing, large in this.
That really hit home for Les Snead. I'll just put this out. I greatly respect what Les Snead is doing for a couple of reasons, but it's especially because it's kind of in vogue for general managers really across sports to say, well, we're going to build young, we're going to get draft picks, we're going to get young players, yes, that is there's nothing wrong with building that way, but it's also a little bit there's a touch of cowardice in it, because what you're doing by saying that is, one, you're pleasing the fan base by saying like, oh look, I mean, we're getting these young guys, I don't expect us to win right now, but just give me anywhere between 5 and 30 years and this thing will get on the right track. And you're also pleasing your owner by saying, oh well, look, the draft, you know, we have all these really cheap built-in salaries, so I'm going to save you a bunch of money. Just get a bunch of cheap guys in here, and you know, fans are happy, owners happy. It doesn't necessarily translate to wins all the time. Sometimes it does, but if you're Les Snead right now, these moves you're making, you can judge them immediately. If Matthew Stafford was not a good quarterback this year, we would be calling for Les Snead's head. If Jalen Ramsey worked out the same way Jamal Adams worked out in Seattle, we'd be ripping that. If Von Miller somehow shows up and is just terrible, you know, it's two day two picks. It's not an overwhelming amount of draft capital, but we would criticize that deal as well. We'll know right away whether this works or not. And I guess that kind of gets to my next point, which is if you are going to add midseason, edge rusher is a really good spot to do it, because it's not as dependent on what's around him as other positions might be. If you add a receiver, okay, well, what's the chemistry going to be with the quarterback? You know, defensive backfield, I mean, that's chemistry-centric. Same with offensive line. You're kind of reliant on what's around you. Von Miller can just line up and go, and that's going to be his job, and he'll probably do it quite well.
Yeah, and it's the same defensive principles, right? I mean, you know, Brandon Staley, the Rams' old defensive coordinator, was a Vic Fangio disciple, ran a Vic Fangio defense. Von Miller had Vic Fangio. They kept the Brandon Staley defense in LA, and they're running the same thing, essentially. So I'm guessing a lot of probably the terminology is even vaguely similar or somewhat similar. And, you know, if someone is as smart and as tenured as Von Miller is, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to say, oh, there's Aaron Donald, I'm just going to work off of him and just go destroy the person in the backfield. That doesn't seem quite as difficult.
Yeah, it's a position where you are asked to win one-on-ones, or maybe if you're Von Miller, one-on-twos. There's also a rotation on defensive lines. So it's just a really easy position to slot in and contribute right away. I think that's a great point, Gary.
And have I ever told you guys about the law of averages when it comes to certain stats in the NFL? I want to point out just really quick. I'd run the numbers. This was before the Texans game. I haven't rerun them again this week, but defensively, the Rams were second in the league in both red zone points allowed per red zone position and fourth down conversion defense. So those are two things that were probably going to slide back toward league average as the year went on. Very small sample size stats, but those are huge plays. And I think this defense maybe, you know, we thought they might slide back this year a little bit anyway after losing Brandon Staley and losing some pieces in the secondary. I think it might have become a problem as the year went on, but this solidifies them very nicely.
While we're on the subject, Gary, is it possible that Von Miller brings with him some excellent insight on onside kick coverage? Because Connor and I talked a little bit about that on Sunday's show, that you certainly would not like us harping on the Rams' two botched onside kick coverage in the last 2 weeks, because it's a small sample size and you hate small sample sizes. But I made the point that I'm sure that they are working extra on that. And listen, maybe Von Miller is some kind of special team savant and we don't even know it. And that was the real reason behind this trade. I'm just throwing it out there. Can't eliminate it.
They found his burner account on IG where all he talks about is onside kick recovery.
Well, Gary, the thing about small sample sizes is America is 2-0 in World Wars and we're pretty great, but that's a small sample size.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant,
players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we told you it was a big trade deadline here, and our number two trade, our second most impactful trade of the deadline here, we're going with Charles Omenihue going to the San Francisco 49ers from the Houston Texans for a 2023 sixth-round pick. And this is a pro-Omenihue podcast here.
It is very much a pro-Omenihue podcast. I think of the plucky Houston Texans defenders, he was probably among the pluckiest. And I think that pairing him, you know, I think he was an above average rusher in Houston with absolutely no help and nobody around him, especially this year. And I think you start pairing him with Bosa and some of the other pieces, you put him next to D'Amico Ryans, the coordinator there. I think this is a good trade, especially for a six round pick. You're not spending a whole lot of money and you probably get a medium to high range upgrade. And what's interesting too, is like San Francisco, their coaching to front office pipeline works a little bit differently than some of the other teams in the league. Like it is the coaches kind of walk upstairs and say, I need this person because I know that they work. And then the person upstairs says, okay, that's what we'll do. And so I think maybe if D'Amico Ryans had somebody like this in mind, I know he has still some connections, obviously, with Houston and that organization. I'm sure that he had an ability to find out what he needed to find out. But this seems like a plug-and-play situation where he can just come in day one and be somewhat effective.
Okay, so I'm posing this next question to both of you, but I'm particularly interested in what Jenny has to say about it because Jenny did a piece on the 2019 Dolphins and their teardown and their tanking season. And as we know, that's kind of where the Texans are right now. We knew that Nick Caserio was going to have to completely rebuild this thing from scratch, but one of his short-term goals was to sign these veteran players to short deals, 1- and 2-year deals, so that he could move them for draft picks. Now, these guys who ended up not getting traded, maybe they get signed elsewhere, and that factors into the compensation pick formula or things like that. So this is not necessarily over right now, but at their first trade deadline, the Texans end up moving Mark Ingram, who was a Caserio signing, and Charles Omenihue now, who was a holdover from the previous regime, is a 2019 draft pick. But that's all the Texans end up getting here, just two late draft picks for these guys. And I'm just kind of wondering, you had written about this a little bit with the Dolphins in 2019, Jenny. If you are part of one of these just bottom of the league, 0-1-2 win type of teams, it's kind of tough to build up trade value with those guys because everything looks awful on the field and it's kind of difficult. You know, even if you might be a nice piece for a contending team, it's very difficult for them to see that when you are just in the middle of this mess that your current team has become.
I will say the Texans have been a kind of feisty team. I mean, they've certainly been more competitive than expected in some games. The Patriots game is one example. So I don't know that they've been this kind of pathetic looking team to outsiders. I think everyone knows that they don't have a good roster. And the fact that they've been able to win a game and be in others, I think, has been surprising to some.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I don't know exactly how many draft picks that they were kind of hoping for there. And it is a strange sort of, like, it looks smart on the surface, but it feels strange in retrospect that, like, this team is absolutely built to crash into the ground. And so at what point Were any of these players really going to be given the opportunity to play well enough to flash on film to be able to, you know, garner that kind of interest? And Amanda Hugh is one, you know, Mark Ingram going back to the Saints. But in at the end there, you get an additional sixth and seventh round pick. And I think one of them was from 2023 as well. So it's not like you've even kind of put a dent into the amount of sort of squandered draft equity that you've inherited.
So let's go down to Kansas City, where they bring in one veteran and move another. We'll start with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif heading to the New York Jets in a trade for tight end Dan Brown. Look, the Jets get, I guess, a starting caliber lineman at this point. Duvernay-Tardif had been out, and it seems the Chiefs are perfectly happy going with Trey Smith as a right guard going forward.
Interesting move from Joe Douglas, I thought, who's actually done a really nice job at rebuilding this offensive line on the fly. Like, this is a good offensive line. Like, it's better than okay. And I think you basically did that in 1 year with Mekhi Becton in and out of injury, and Mekhi Becton not really even fitting the profile of the offensive lineman that you want, right? I mean, it was two different offenses that you sort of pinballed back and forth from. So I think that this kind of completes it. It seems like he has a blueprint of the kind of offensive lineman he wants. Duvernay-Tardif fits that profile. But it all goes back to my X factor guys from the AFC West preview show, Chiefs, fifth round tight end pick, Noah Gray. Why would you trade for another tight end? If you had a draft pick, Noah Gray was playing a lot more recently. And all of a sudden you get another guy in there. Dan Brown was a slot receiver in college, converted to a tight end. What's going on here in Kansas City?
Number three tight end controversy of what's going on in Kansas City.
Time to sound the alarm bells.
The big name the Chiefs bring in here is Melvin Ingram. They get him from Pittsburgh. The Steelers had brought him in. He was sort of serving as a number three pass rusher there behind TJ Watt, obviously, and Alex Highsmith. And he had sort of quietly wanted out of Pittsburgh, and they give him his wish here. There are reports that the Steelers did not want to trade him within the conference, but in the end, I don't know what kind of market Melvin Ingram had, but he gets sort of plugged in here as another, I don't know, I guess you feel good about it, or you don't feel any worse about what they have defensively in Kansas City right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's how much of a boost it is. I mean, you could say that maybe it allows the Chiefs to play Chris Jones back inside a little bit more. But then again, I don't know that Melvin Ingram at this point in his career is necessarily going to make that much of a difference. But, you know, I don't think Jones on the edge has worked out exactly how the Chiefs wanted. And we know he's a dominant force on the interior. So you would like to see him a little bit more there. So perhaps having an additional edge rusher allows for a little bit of that transition or movement.
I think this is one of my favorite things of the trade deadline, because I think the Melvin Ingram wanting out was reported by Aditi Kinkabala over at NFL Network. And she just flat out said, he wants to be traded because he thinks he's better than Alex Highsmith. I like it because now they can figure that out. Alex Highsmith will have the end of the season to show how good he is. And Melvin Ingram will have the end of the season to go show how good he is. And, they can just sort of duke this out, which is very entertaining for me.
So before we go on to the two guys who didn't get traded at the deadline, do we have anyone else? Do we want to nominate anyone as big impact trades here? At the deadline, out of all these tiny little trades that went on over the past week?
I'll submit a nomination as a lover of pointless minutia. I will say that my favorite trade deadline was the Eagles, right? I think that Howie Roseman got a fifth-round pick for Zach Ertz, which is Zach Ertz is a declining player who they weren't going to re-sign anyway. And a guy who's coming off his worst season. But in each of the trades, the Ertz trade and the other trade that you made, you got Tay Gowan and you got Kerry Vincent. And both of these guys, so you need a lot of help in your secondary, right? And so what you're doing is you're giving yourself basically an 8-game tryout for two extraordinarily cheap players who have a lot of high upside, but question marks, right? So Gallen, for example, only played a handful of collegiate snaps. We still don't know a ton about him, and he's got great size. And then Kerry Vincent was a COVID opt-out, and so, you know, he was projected. I saw a couple of the draft analysts had him going as high as the fourth round, fell to the seventh, and, you know, has a football lineage there and positional versatility, can play safety and corner. So you can at least just run these guys for the rest of the season, and you got them as throw-ins, basically, for a trade. You got them for nothing. And if one of the two of them hits, you know, you have a starting caliber player in your secondary on a sixth round or seventh round contract. I think it's a pretty good deal.
There you go. That's efficiency at the very least.
You had that one ready to go, Connor. You were preparing for the trade deadline show by just accumulating a list of talking points only about the Eagles and the marginal parts of the move. I like it. Very nuanced.
There's like one Eagles fan listening to this podcast saying, finally, someone talking about the genius of Howie Roseman.
Connor Orr sees me.
Yes.
All right. So
I'm
the
on
two
the podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry. Back to Iguodala. Up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so let's move on to the two big names who did not get traded at the deadline here. And we're going to start with Odell Beckham Jr. And my goodness, what a 48 hours it has been here if you are on social media and seeing what is being put out there at this point. And just it's drama. It is very dramatic. Odell Beckham Sr., put a video on Instagram that was clearly criticizing Baker Mayfield, and the end result is Odell Beckham Jr. is still a member of the Cleveland Browns now, which I would think would make things quite awkward.
I think it does, but in another way, like, I don't think what Odell Beckham Sr. is doing, it's sort of just the new wave version of what, I don't know, Archie Manning has done for his kids, right? Or, you know, any other well-meaning helicopter parent, you know, in trying to force somebody's hand. I think that Odell Beckham Sr. was vocal when Odell was in New York, too. But I don't think there's anything wrong with defending your son. And the way that he did it, with sort of this, like, lo-fi PowerPoint presentation on social media, was fantastic. Like, the graphics were good. I don't know if anyone saw it, but it was like, I watched the whole video. It's like three games of Odell Beckham not being targeted properly. And then there'd be like a circle around week one and then like four clips and then like week two and four. And I was like, his dad put a lot of time into this, you know, or hired somebody to put a lot of time into this. And so I think you give the guy some credit, you know?
Okay, that was not what I expected from you, Connor.
Where did you think I was going?
I thought you were going to go a little bit more. What I was about to say was that I'm not a fan of surrogates speaking for players, and not just with Odell. I mean, we saw it with Tom Brady egregiously earlier in the year, right before the game of the century, the Bucs playing the Patriots. You know, Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady Sr. both chimed in about issues in New England with Bill Belichick, and basically wouldn't have spoken if Brady, you know, their son or their most important client. I mean, he couldn't have been too mad about that. Right. And this is similar. You have Odell Beckham Sr. And then you also have LeBron James, like, wading his way into the NFL trade rumor mill by saying that they need to free Odell. I mean, you know, if you have something to say, there's a lot of ways to say it directly. I'm more of a fan of that approach. That was my point. I don't feel too seriously about it. There's a lot of misdeeds in the world, and having surrogates spread your information is not, certainly not near the top of my list of the worst misdeeds, but I don't know. It's not my favorite thing, I would say.
What is more fun though, right? What is more fun? Having Odell come out and say, I'm unhappy here, or having Odell's dad post an incredible, like, Microsoft PowerPoint presentation, and then like LeBron James weigh in, and then probably like tomorrow Odell Beckham just Instagram like a picture of a lion, and then everybody wonders, like, what's the lion for? Is it like lion and sheep, or is it like lion, like the Browns are lion, or like what's going on, like, you know? And it's cryptic and nobody knows, and then they'll ask Odell and he'll just be like, I just like lions, guys, wink. And then that is just such a better thing for us, for the world. You know, we need to dial in on a bad Odell controversy right now. I missed it. And this is just a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is amusing, and little spats between players and their teams and their quarterback. As I said before, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's no one's doing anything wrong. It's not misbehavior. So I generally try to treat this with the lightness and humor it deserves. So, you know what, maybe you're right, Connor, maybe you're paternal instinct is kicking in here, and you could see yourself making a similar video for one of your children in the future, in one of their athletic careers. So, all right, I'll give you this round.
after certain episodes, you guys should check my mom's Twitter to see what she's doing, just in case she's talking trash about you guys. So
Jenny Brentis cut off Connor at minute marker 416 in the most recent episode.
I'm just trying to think, who would I get to sort of deliver passive aggressive messages to you guys, my colleagues, when I want to do that? Like, who's my LeBron James? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Or will LeBron James do it if I ask him nicely enough?
You know what I think it could be is like child's artwork posted on social media by your spouse, maybe. And maybe like in the corner of that artwork, there's like an X through JV or CO.
Seems like a death threat at that point.
Okay. Sorry. Went in a bad direction here. I mean, one thing I will say is, you know, looking at what his father posted, you know, it did seem like there were some missed opportunities. Of course, there's always missed opportunities on the field. And this idea of free Odell is interesting. Would he be that much more productive elsewhere? Is he really being held back by the offense and his role in it? Or it would seem as though the trade market doesn't believe that. The trade market believes that maybe he's declined and is not the player he once was. Now, I don't know what's true. I mean, the trade market is certainly not always the accurate assessment of a player's talent, but there do seem to be two competing narratives. One is based on his salary and whatever other considerations, no team was interested in giving up what price the Browns would have needed to consider it. The other narrative is LeBron James saying free OBJ.
It's so much noise around it right now. And it's so super awkward that he's still there when it's all said and done. And I guess, look, if you're another team looking at this and, you know, whatever, maybe we get to February, March, and teams are thinking about making an offer, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same thing we've seen in the receiver market the last two off seasons, where it's just a little bit depressed because there are so many good receivers coming to the NFL. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, the rookie wage scale guarantees you get those guys for so cheap if you just draft them. And so if you're looking at Odell, and, you know, we have some durability concerns and we have some now production concerns on top of it. And it's I am a big believer that Odell Beckham Jr. is still a spectacular talent, but there's no denying the offense was better after he got hurt last year. Now, there's a lot that goes into that, but they perform better without him. So I think it's an awfully tough sell to another organization to say, yeah, you know, take this guy. He's still really talented, so take him. And it might not have worked out here with our number one overall draft pick quarterback and our very smart offensive head coach, but it'll work out for you guys, I'm sure, and it'll be worth the salary and the draft capital. And hey, if it goes wrong, all you have to do is deal with like LeBron James tweeting about your franchise's incompetence. So I don't know. I think this is a bizarre moment right now for everyone involved.
When parents get involved, it's always complicated. It reminds me of the city county Scranton Little League championships back in the early 2000s when I was supposed to be caught in a rundown on purpose to create some sort of distraction. And one of the dads took it upon himself to involve himself in the play. And so when I went to go try to get myself caught in a rundown, he screamed at me, "Connor, what are you doing? Get back to second base." And so, but like he was trying to alert the team that I was doing this, but I thought I was being yelled at. So I just walked back to second base. And then the coach was like, "No, do the other thing." And then afterwards, the kid's dad, the son of the dad who was doing, got himself involved, was like, "Hey, I'm really sorry. Like, my dad thinks he's like, you know, helpful, and he's not." And I think maybe that's all Odell has to do tomorrow when he talks to Baker, say, "Sorry, my dad made this whole video about how horrible you are." But like, you know, it worked for me back then. And I don't know, maybe it works for Baker Mayfield and Odell now.
Well, what I was going to say before you ended that story with a more positive turn was that it shows that the parents getting involved doesn't really help anybody. And that I think would be, you know, if he really wanted out of Cleveland, which obviously he does, LeBron and the parent posting things on social media would actually hinder that from happening because it would make other teams less interested. So it probably would have been better if everybody was just quiet and he had a talk with the front office, which maybe he did, but
that's my favorite part. It's like these players pay their agents an exorbitant amount of money to handle this. And he's like, you know, you call your agent and be like, I want to leave. And the agent's like, okay, I'm working on it. And be like, nah, hold on. I'm just going to call my dad and LeBron James and we're going to figure it out. Just watch this.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're actually going to end up saving the most absurd for last here, and that is Deshaun Watson does not get dealt. That is something you've heard on this podcast quite a few times, that he was unlikely to be traded. If you really want to get the sort of the deepest coverage of it and the best understanding of it, I would recommend going two episodes back in your feed when Jenny Brunch and I last week discussed really just the disturbing amount of misinformation and misconceptions when it comes to Watson, his situation, the civil suits brought against him, the criminal complaints brought against him, and why, just in the end, it made zero sense for this to happen. The MMQB NFL podcast is Jenny Vrentis, Connor Orr, and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Thanks, as always, to senior podcast producer Dan Bloom. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB, and Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts, and once you do, please leave a rating and review because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, Gary, we've seen at various pressure points in the NFL calendar media reports that a trade was imminent. We heard it right before the start of the season. It happened again in the days leading up to the trade deadline. And there hasn't been a deal. There wasn't a deal. And now a deal cannot be executed until the start of the next league year. So there will be, mercifully, a quiet period, because the conversation around the potential trade of Watson, as you referenced earlier and as we detailed in last week's show, was surrounded by a lot of misinformation. And the idea that a team could sacrifice the draft capital, the asking price that the Texans are apparently intent on getting in exchange for Watson, without doing vetting, without the 22 civil suits alleging sexual misconduct and harassment having reached a resolution, without knowing if there will be criminal charges resulting from the 10 criminal complaints, it just never made a lot of sense. Now, obviously, there were parties very interested in making it happen, foremost among them, Watson and his agent. And so it was clear there was a push to try to get this done. And clearly there was interest from the Dolphins. But now that no deal has been completed by the trade deadline, as we said last week, Gary, it makes all of the conversations over the last 3 months look silly in retrospect, even though, you know, we knew they were silly all along. I mean, a week ago, the framing by some outlets was the belief and the expectation and the hope. That was the word that was used. The hope is that a deal will be done by the deadline. Other outlets said it's not if a deal will be done, it's when. So the fact that there wasn't a deal done by the deadline, I think raises some important questions.
It's funny to me. So this previous weekend, I spent some time with some old friends celebrating one of their upcoming nuptials. And it was a group of like lay NFL fans, like casual NFL fans that like have a fantasy football team, but are not like locked in on the news every week. And one of them said, "Hey, what's going on with Deshaun Watson? Like, isn't he going to get traded?" And I said, "Probably not." And they were like, "Why?" And I said, "Well, you know, there was, you know, the 22 written complaints, and there's 10 criminal complaints." And they're like, "Wait, like there's 10 criminal complaints against him?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Why is everybody talking about him being traded?" And I was like, "I don't know." And like, I was like, so, you know, that's sort of like the conversation that should have been had around the league. It's like, you know, if they called the Dolphins about a trade, be like, "Oh, is something going on with the 22 women who accused him of sexual misconduct? Oh, no. Oh, okay. Then, we don't want to trade him then, because we don't know what's going to happen." Like, it just blows my mind that anything has gone beyond that point.
There was another report as well today from multiple outlets that Stephen Ross wanted to talk to Watson before the trade deadline if a deal were to be completed, and that the Texans did not give permission for that to happen until Monday night. I cannot confirm that. I'm just repeating information that has put out there. But that is sort of a strange approach to go, right? Is to just say the night before the trade deadline, the owner of an interested team would have a cursory conversation with Watson. I can't imagine what information you would collect in that conversation that would give you any more confidence in making the move. So to me, that seemed just a little bit,
It's unsettling, I think. But maybe that's what we should have expected from an owner that kind of laughed off reporters who were waiting to ask him about Deshaun Watson at the owners meeting, and instead has let his head coach, who clearly doesn't have final say on any trade, and also the quarterback, who the organization may not even want, he's let them answer all of the questions about the pursuit of Watson.
The MMQB NFL podcast is Jenny Vrentis, Connor Orr, and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Thanks, as always, to senior podcast producer Dan Bloom. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB, and Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts, and once you do, please leave a rating and review, because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.